Good morning, little Saigon. Good morning, Seattle. Good morning to everyone everywhere, right? Fuck you, good morning. Good morning to the people that live in Puerto Rico. Good morning. Good morning to all the nice people who are currently trying to survive on those ships at sea, the plague ships. Good morning to the plague ships. It's March the 7th, Saturday, around 2 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here in Seattle. That's right. It is March the 7th. It is March the 7th, 2020, and it is right around 2 a.m. here in Seattle. The reason why I'm up is because I'm sick. Now, this could be just the worst cold I've had in a while. And I've had bad colds before, folks. I've had bad colds. I've had colds in the summertime in July. I've had a July cold. Fuck. You ever have a cold when it's 100 degrees outside? You ever have a cold when it's so goddamn hot, all you want to do is die? I've had colds like that. But it's not the summertime, it's quote-unquote wintertime in Seattle. I saw something interesting yesterday. I saw an eagle across the way on the ledge of a building being harassed by crows. It made me wonder, is this a sign? A sign of something? A sign of change? Yes, I woke up this morning. I say this morning, I woke up about an hour ago. My head was, you know, my head wasn't so good. Headache, a little bit of nausea. I've got tremendous amounts of pressure building in my left eardrum. I have a little bit of a cough, although it's not so bad. I mean, it could be fucking worse, right? Yes, I've got the muscle pain. I've got the chills and the sense of wonder at what is about to occur. Yes, there are fluids draining out of my anus that are blue and red. There is a greenish-yellow phlegm dripping from my eardrums. There are signs of diseases and parasites inside of my eyeballs. Yes, it's true. I can hear the voice of Captain Trips in the distance. And I can hear that old woman in Colorado Springs. Come to Colorado Springs, Dan. Here's your plague update for today, 2 a.m. March the 7th, 2020. Your good friend here in Little Saigon has the bumpkus. I've got the flatermouse. I've got bat scratch fever. I've got the boogaloo flu. I've got what they call COVID, which can also be translated as Kobe. Did you know that? If you take the word COVID and translate it to Hebrew in Google Translate, and then you translate the Hebrew back to English, you know what you end up with? Kobe. Check it out yourself, buddy. Go take the word COVID, translate from English to Hebrew, and then translate the Hebrew back to English, you'll end up with Kobe. Fuck it. I've got the virus. And it's okay. It's not tragic. We all die. None of us get out of this alive. It's better to laugh than to cry when it comes to this whole death thing. It's better to look at oblivion and smile. What do you want to do? Be afraid of oblivion? Oblivion has always been there. Oblivion will always be there. You can cry. You can have tears. You can be all bleak and sterile and full of yourself, or you can fucking laugh. You can laugh like you've never laughed before. You can laugh because you've got pneumonia in your lower respiratory tract. This is your plague update. There are 15 people dead from the bumpkus fever, from the Wu flu, from the COVID, from Deflator Mouse in Washington State. That's pretty fucking sad because I live in Washington State. They've identified the first case of COVID, or Kobe, the Kobe flu, in Hawaii. Yes, the first case of Kobe in Hawaii. The CDC has tested fewer than 2,000 Americans. They haven't tested me yet, have they? You fucks. I don't want to be tested. I already know I'm going to die. Fifteen more patients from the Kirkland Nursing Home have been hospitalized. That sucks. The second screener at LAX tests positive. Fuck, don't stop at LAX, right? LA County confirms another two cases, bringing the total to 13. Fuck, that's a lucky number. Germany reports 90 new cases, and the total number of cases is 534. Methinks that number is low. Can I pause here for a second, folks? Let's think about this virus, okay? So I started getting symptoms about a week ago. Mild at first, really. Didn't even bother me. Only in the last day or two have the symptoms slowly gotten worse, really. According to the current theories, it takes between 2 weeks or up to a month to incubate, during which time you are also contagious. This means that sometime in January, I likely got the gumbus, probably from riding on the fucking bus. You remember when I was talking about my podcast about how the schedules for Metro were getting weird? Cancellations, weird cancellations. Weird cancellations of buses and the streetcar and other bullshit. Of course, it's all just random, but that's when I probably got the gumbus. So methinks the number of cases in the United States is way, way higher than a couple thousand. Methinks the number of cases in Germany is probably higher than that, but you know what? Who the fuck knows what the truth is, man? Saudi Arabia suspends sports events starting Saturday. Good job. University of Washington, my alma mater, will move all classes online for rest of the semester. Slackers. McDonald's cancels franchisee convention. Why don't you help us, really, McDonald's, and cancel McDonald's? Oh, yeah. Some of us like the sausage McMuffin with egg, don't we? Iraqi officials report the third death. Latin American airline employee confirmed as Peru's first coronavirus case. Oh, fuck. Houston area confirms 6 cases. Shit. Italy reports another 675 cases. Fuck, shit, fuck. Gap. The Gap closes New York City office. Fucking Gap. You still exist? Fuck. New York cases climb to 33. That's a nice Masonic number. Baggage handler at Heathrow, that's the United Kingdom, you fuck, test positive. Madrid closes old folks' homes, fuck. Where are the old folks gonna go? That's right, Madrid closed the old folks' homes. Now they're in the streets hunting for flesh, hunting for food. It's going to get crazy. 5 schools closed in Pennsylvania. Fucking A, man. Trump visits the CDC. A Trump visit the CDC is back on. Great. Maybe they can figure out what kind of bacteria he is. World Health Organization. False hope that virus will disappear when summer arrives. Thanks for taking away our hope, you fucks. World Health Organization, : we don't know the mortality rate. That means it's bad, people. If they tell you the complication rate is between 15 and 20%, I can promise you the practical, real mortality rate on a case-by-case basis is going to be a lot higher than 5%. Why? Because it's not as simple as the virus kills you. It's not just the virus that kills you. It's everything else that's wrong with you. And if you don't have access to a hospital, if you don't have access to an intensive care unit, guess what? You might have survived. We'll never know. But you're probably going to die if you get complications. That's just reality. Once the hospitals get overwhelmed, It's not going to be everybody gets everything. No, 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 no. The fancy pants people, the scumbags, the shitbirds, they'll be first in line. But you know what? The hospital's just a death clinic. So I'm okay with that. They can be first in line at the death clinic. I'll just die in my micro studio. Kudlow says buy stocks. What a douchebag. What a fucking douchebag. Folks, I believe in free enterprise, although we don't really have it in America any longer. I believe in capitalism, but shit, wasn't that great when it existed. But what I also believe in is decency. Don't be a fucking scumbag. Going around telling people to buy stocks at a time like this makes you a piece of shit. You are a piece of shit. It's okay to joke about this, in my opinion, especially if you're sick. It's okay to be critical. We all have a right to think. But probably what is a bit tone deaf, in my opinion, is telling people to buy fucking stocks in the most inflated market in human history during what is probably a pandemic. Yeah, I said the P word. Guess what? That's okay too. Don't be a douchebag. Second death in the UK, bullshit. I'm sure there's been hundreds of deaths there. Cases hit 163, lie. France reports two new deaths, probably a lie, bringing the total to 9. French total cases, 577, shit, that's a lot. Egypt reports 12 cases aboard a cruise ship, sink the ships. They're going to have to torpedo these things. Almost 3,000 people are asked to voluntarily quarantine in New York City? Fuck. Switzerland, the Netherlands report, fuck. What do they report now? Switzerland, the Netherlands report their first deaths, lie. Slovakia, only country in Europe without the virus, lie. Russia accuses Italy of spreading virus. That's some kind of bullshit. Singapore reports 13 new cases, largest one-day jump since outbreak began. Oh, but Chris Martinson told me Singapore was really good at this. Oh, maybe what Singapore is good at, Mr. Martinson, is fucking lying. U.S. case total, 234, bullshit. South Korea, Japan, feud over virus. They hate each other. Microsoft, Adidas, Lockheed say at least one employee is contracted. Fucking liars. China claims it can't have vaccine ready by April. April 1st, you fucks. Pompeo says China withheld information, leaving U.S. behind the curve. Really, Pompeo? God, you're a neocon piece of shit. Why are you stirring up shit at a time like this, Pompeo? I can't wait until your fat-ass, disgusting piece of shit body gets the virus. And yes, little baby Jesus heard me say that. Pompeo, I can't wait till you get the gumbus. You fat piece of shit. What a neocon scumbag piece of shit. Fuck you, Pompeo. That's your plague update for March the 7th, 2020. Thank you. Yeah, that's your fucking plague update. Now you know that I got the gumbus. Now you know that if you take the word COVID, that's Charlie, Oscar, Victor, India, Delta, and you stick that in the Google Translate. So on the left side, that's looking at Google Translate, the input side, it says COVID and it's English. And on the right side, it says Hebrew, please translate. And then take that Hebrew and translate it back to English, you end up with Kobe. That's fucking weird. Now, do I think that's a reason to think this is all bullshit? No. I think that's just fucking weird. It's that kind of bullshit. It's like synchronicity crap. Kobe died. Kobe died and was the satanic sacrifice for the COVID. Maybe. Or maybe Kobe's alive at the Antarctica safe zone. I'm kind of thinking a lot of people are making their way there about now. And on the topic of all things apocalyptic, just to let you know, if I don't get too sick, I got an interview with our good friend Dr. Guy McPherson on Monday. We'll talk more about abrupt climate change and extinction. I don't care if you believe or don't believe. A sign of intellectual courage is a willingness to listen to ideas that you might not agree with. In fact, you might not agree with, and you may be incredibly skeptical of, but at least you're willing to listen, which means you're not scared. If, on the other hand, you're scared, then you shouldn't even be listening to this fucking podcast. If you're a little scared person who can't laugh at oblivion, then what the fuck are you doing, man? Get real, come on. As stated in previous podcasts, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, if you are rich, like billionaire rich or millionaire rich, and you have more money than you could possibly do anything with, then I'm going to do my pitch in the middle of this podcast because we'll end it out. We'll end the podcast a different kind of way. We'll talk more about the disease and what to do and the various treatment options according to Dr. Grunkus. But before we get to that, I just let you know, if you're a millionaire rich and you're about to die of this terrible, terrible monkey herpes, you can send your money to me. You don't have to send all of it. I probably can't use all of it since I'll be dead in 3 weeks. But if you were to send thousands of your millions to me, there's a link to Venmo and PayPal in the description of this podcast. There'll be a link on my SoundCloud homepage because there always is. To Venmo or PayPal. Give me some of your millions, man. I'll talk to Jesus about you. I'm not sure that's gonna help. I'm not sure that's, especially what I said about that Pompeo piece of shit. That's not very Christian. But what a piece of shit. And what about that Kudlow douchebag? Go buy stocks. Go buy stocks. Go buy shares in companies that make face masks. Okay, Kudlow. Why don't you go sell some bullets to go kill some kids? Why don't you go fuck yourself? That guy either does too much or too little cocaine. And me, I don't get to do any. I've never done cocaine. I've always wanted to before I died. Can you imagine me on cocaine during a podcast? How lit would that be? Imagine Dan on cocaine during a podcast. Yes, indeed, I am filled with the gumbus, I'm filled with the phlegm and the glymph, I'm filled with sclimbus. I spoke with Dr. Grunkus a few days ago during my weekly visit. Yes, he runs a little back alley clinic here in Little Saigon. When I say back alley clinic, I mean that literally, you fuck. He runs a back alley clinic where he treats the hookers and the scrags, the trog and the morlocks. He treats the chud and other monstrosities that crawl up from the earth. He treats the Gronkus lords. He treats all of the dangerous people of Little Saigon. You know why he does this? Because he loves us. He loves us. And he loves the practice of medicine. So I saw Dr. Gronkus and I said, Dr. Gronkus, I've got problems with my phlegmic zone. I have remulation in my muscles. There are problems with my blood. My blood is the color of a nasty green ooze. And my stool, oh my God, my poop. My poop is blue and red and green. My poop is burny. It burns out. I told Dr. Gronkus every time I took a poop now, it burned the insides out of me. It tore my insides out. I was seeing things in my toilet that belong inside of me, and there's stuff inside of me that belongs in the toilet. That's what I told Dr. Gronkus. So he said, Dan, listen up, buddy. Stop complaining, you bitch. It's not the time to complain. You are transitioning. You are transforming. The virus is changing you and you're changing the virus. You're getting closer to each other, closer, deeper. That connection, that mitochondrial connection, that connection of RNA and DNA and all kinds of shit that happens inside the body. He said, you need to open yourself up to this. Here's another thing too, Dan. He said, do you have a power drill? Do you have a power drill that you can use to drill holes into your body? This is how the virus can get out. The virus only wants to get out. It only wants to escape. Go get a power drill, Dan, and drill holes into your body. That's one thing you can do. And then he said, Dan, do you have anything like soap or diesel or any type of chemicals that are really terrible? And I said, I've got this toilet cleaning shit. It says it kills 99.9% of bacteria. I don't want to meet the 0.1%. Dr. Gronka said, take the toilet cleaning gel and mix it with some water and some green tea, and then drink it. Drink it 7 times a day. So I've been doing that. I think it's helping. He also says that if you have pressure on your ear, the only rational way to relieve pressure on your ear is to take a sharp metal object and just jab it in there. Jab it and jab it and jab it until that pressure goes away. Now, I don't know. Some people would say Dr. Gronkus is giving bad advice. And that's because they don't understand what he is to me, what he is to all of us, what Dr. Gronkus is. Dr. Gronkus is the only choice we have here in Little Saigon, Seattle. Dr. Gronkus is the state of the art. He has all kinds of stuff going for him. Did you know that he got his medical degree from an island nation? Yes, Dr. Gronkus got his medical degree from an island nation. Yes, an island nation that existed on a giant lake, a lake in the mouth of a volcano. And then one day, not so long ago, the entire island nation, the lake and the volcano was swallowed by the sea. How do you explain that to the licensing board, you son of a bitch? how do you explain to a licensing board that you got your medical license from a nation that was swallowed inside the mouth of a volcano? How do you explain that to anybody except in Little Saigon, Seattle? Now, here's the truth of it. I'm not feeling so good. So this is going to be a short podcast. I've already told you about the money. If you have lots of money, you can send it to me. If you don't have lots of money, you don't have to. This podcast will exist as long as I do, which means we're probably on the last few weeks of it. And don't get me started on knock-on effects and cascading failure and complex systems if you think the virus is the only problem you're facing. The virus thinks that's funny. Yeah, the virus just told me to tell you that you've got worse problems, pal. Because we live in a just-in-time world, as I've said in the past. We live in a logistical nightmare of tightness and complexity. They'll tell you there's plenty of food. They're lying. They'll tell you there's plenty of medical equipment. Yeah, I'm going to let you in a little secret. They're lying. Yeah, they'll tell you anything to make you feel better. They will. They'll tell you they got plenty of food. They'll tell you that there'll be plenty of people to run the nuclear power plants. Yeah, how do you think a boiling water reactor responds to not having any employees show up? Now, you could say, well, Dan, they can just scram the reactor. You know what it takes? It takes about 20 fucking years to decommission a reactor. All you get from scramming it is shoving the control rods back in with the additional hope that the water pumps don't stop pumping water. Because I don't care if you have your control rods in. If the water stops pumping, that reactor's going to melt down. Not in months or years, not in weeks, not in days, but hours. Hours. That's what happened at Fukushima. Fukushima suffered a catastrophic power loss, which means they couldn't power their water pumps, which means the reactors were doomed to melt down. How do you think the reactors will respond to nobody showing up for work? That's just something to think about, you know, something to consider. Do the math in your head. Ask yourself what a 20% complication rate looks like. Let's say there's 320 million people. Let's say there's about 300 whatever million people in this country. Isn't it funny, though, the other day how I think it was MSNBC or CNN explained that if Bloomberg took $500 million and gave it away to every American, we would all suddenly have $1 million? Well, what he did, what they didn't say, is that's Zimbabwe money. Yeah. No, that's funny. Math is a problem for the media. It really is. Real fucking problem. If you want to feel better about the world, do the math. Figure out how many ICU beds there are in the country. How many ICU beds? How many hospitals? All this data is public. You can do an estimate. And you can estimate the number of ICU beds. And then ask yourself what a 20% complication rate looks like. And then ask yourself seriously, what happens then? When all the doctors and all the nurses and all the bus drivers and all the ambulance people are dealing with their own shit. Hey, guess what? They don't have to be sick themselves. All they have to have is a daughter, a son, a wife, a husband, a significant other that's sick. And I promise you, that motherfucker probably won't show up for work. So if you think the virus by itself is the problem, I don't believe you've really been thinking about the virus. The virus is just a thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a monstrous thing. But the real problem is called fragility. You live in a fragile civilization. They tell you it's not. Guess what? They're lying. Our civilization is incredibly fragile. Now, if you can ride the bubble of infinite techno-utopian expansion so that you get to the magical wonderland of robots and faster-than-light travel and quantum computers and nanotechnology that'll clean out your gumptic zone. Yeah, if you make it there, great, but we're not there yet, you fucks. We're not to the fusion energy paradise yet. We're still stuck in the, we'd like to get there, if we can get there, and oh, guess what? We're all desperately broke. And no amount of communism fixes this either. Well, let me rephrase that. There are communist solutions to this problem that mostly involve death camps. So I would say this. There is a communist solution to this problem. It involves sending trucks around to all the neighborhoods saying, load up your dying, load up the sick, take the sick to the Taco Time processing facility in Tacoma. Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen to the sick there. Maybe they'll be liquefied. Maybe they'll be converted into burrito grease. Maybe Free Taco Tuesday will come at a price. Yeah, I don't know, folks. I usually, let's get real here for a second. I rarely get sick. When I do get sick, the worst case scenarios have been like being sick for a week, maybe. And that happens once every 5 to 10 years. Usually when I get sick, it's a couple days. Maybe I get a little fever, and then I'm over it. I'm not complaining. I'm not proud of myself. I live a disgusting existence, okay? I live a horribly disgusting existence. My immune system, I would contend, has had to deal with a lot of shit, probably even worse than this fucking virus. But I ain't a young man. I'm almost 50 years old, pal. And I'll be dead soon. Even if this virus doesn't kill me, something else will. It's reality. I know y'all want to believe in the fantastical future where everyone's going to live to be 150 years old. Newsflash, in recent years in the United States of America, life expectancies have been going backwards. And you can say, well, Dan, that's just the opioid epidemic. Yeah, okay. That's just cancer. That's just, you know what it is? All of the above, which are symptoms of the same fucking problem. You live in a fragile civilization, pal. You live in a civilization that works on a margin. And a lot of people who can't hack it, they die, they become homeless, or they go crazy, all of the above. And on the way there, they get themselves a fucking prescription from old Dr. Happy Pants for OxyContin or some other kind of fucking hillbilly heroin. So please, oh, that's just the opioid. Yes, it is. That's called a symptom, dumbass. And to say that somehow these drugs were forced on people, listen, people do drugs to treat pain. I'm going to say this again because I think people are really fucking stupid now. People do drugs to treat pain. Maybe it's not the wisest way to treat it. Maybe it's not the best way. We're not all Pompeo. We're not all Kudlow. We can't all get our best fucking cocaine. Some of us gotta do meth. These are symptoms. Homelessness is a symptom, people, not a problem. Homeless people don't magically spring into existence. They exist because the system's broken, okay? The opioid epidemic, that's not a problem, that's a symptom. The system is broken. The cancer, the diabetes, the autism. Yeah, guess what? This is a fragile, toxic, broken system. And if you think it's going to keep delivering food all the time, 24/7, whenever you fucking need it, get fucking real. Wake the fuck up. Food gets delivered. If somebody can harvest the food, process the food, and deliver the food, wow, that's at least three jobs. Yeah. And as far as this virus goes, if any of the bullshit we've been told about it is true, if it's true that it has at least a 2 week to a month incubation period, if it's true that it is contagious while asymptomatic, if it's true that it has roughly a 15 to 20% complication rate, then this virus is pretty fucking bad if all that is true. The complication rate is easily convertible to mortality when systems get overloaded. So that 20% complication, you can convert that to death, to dead. Because the hospitals will get filled up. There's not going to be a fucking breathing machine for you. You will need a breathing machine. You will need all the advanced fucking chemistry. You'll need all the HIV drugs. And oh boy, if you're like Uncle Dan and you don't have an Obamacare number and you don't have insurance and fuck you, I don't care, then guess what? You don't have to worry. You'll simply die in your apartment alone. There are people out there who say, don't laugh. Don't have humor at this. Don't laugh at it. I will laugh because it's a choice between laughing or crying at this point. I'm not going to be all cold and bleak about it. I'm not going to be sterile. I'm not going to pretend people aren't hurting. That's bullshit too. But I'm also not going to pretend that this is tragic. Tragedy occurs to the innocent, to the people that you say, oh shit, they did everything they could and yet they were still killed. What is happening to us, by definition, is not fucking tragic. It's inevitable, maybe, but not fucking tragic. This is the shit that happens historically. This is the shit that happens to societies that lose their way, especially. And I would say that maybe this will be a wake-up call. If we're really lucky, people will realize a couple things when this is over. Number one, government is bullshit. My God. Whether it's the creation of the bioweapon or the response to the bioweapon, government is bullshit. Here's your second little nugget. If somebody says there ought to be a law, tell them there is one against bioweapons, you fuck. And then tell me how many BLS level 4 fucking labs are on the world. Well, they're just studying viruses so they can treat you. No, they're building bioweapons, you stupid fuck. Yeah, some of them might be making money off of developing the cigarette cure for Ebola. I have no doubt about that. But a lot of them aren't doing the ZMAP thing. A lot of them are just building good old-fashioned bioweapons. And bioweapons, from a military science perspective, are crap. When it comes to strategy, tactics, and operations, bioweapons are useless. Why? Because bioweapons don't obey orders, you stupid fuck. You can't involve a bioweapon in wargaming. During the military decision-making process, you can't ask the bioweapon, are you ready for operations? You can't issue a warning order to a bioweapon. Bioweapons are random, chaotic bullshit. And if any fucking genetic engineer tells you otherwise, once again, they're lying. Or they're deluded. Bioweapons only have one purpose, that's to create fear. fear and turmoil, and to be used for control. That's it. The only entity I can think of that would ever love a bioweapon is the government. So I hope when this is over, I hope and I pray to the Lord in heaven that people wake the fuck up about government. But I don't know. If this is the great culling, if this is the process by which the powers that be reduce human population to that magical 500 million, I hope I do get killed. I don't want to live in a world where everyone else had to die so I can live. And guess what? Maybe that's right. Maybe what we need are more of the same types of people. Douchey, sociopathic, shitty motherfuckers. These are the ones that will inherit the earth, not the meek. No, no, no. The meek are the ones that get turned into fucking meat paste. The meek will inherit, yeah, the burrito. But the sociopaths and the scumbags with their condos in Antarctica, they will inherit the satanic planet that's left. And remember, as you go through your pain of viruses and infections, remember this. Whether you're an atheist or you're religious like me, remember that this life is fucking temporary. It's temporary as fuck compared to human history. If the universe were 10 or 15 billion years old, if life on Earth has been here for what? Half a billion years? If the human race has existed as a species for a couple hundred thousand years, guess what? Your 60 to 100 years on planet Earth, plus or minus, that's nothing. That's temporary. That is a brief fucking moment. And in that sense, we all need to get over ourselves. Life is temporary. And for the most part, life is not tragic. Yes, tragedy does occur, but let's be honest about what tragedy is. In my opinion, tragedy is not an old person died. I'm sorry, old people die. That's not called tragedy. That's called probability, okay? If a young kid dies, that's kind of tragic. Let me give you an example. I lost my mom and my sister to cancer. They were both, let's talk about irony and bullshit. My mom and my sister were both breast cancer survivors. Think about that kind of euphemistic bullshit. Breast cancer survivors. My mom and my sister Nancy were both breast cancer survivors. My mom got taken by the second cancer in 2010, stage 4, very, very painful, very miserable, very bad, lots and lots of drugs for the pain. My sister Nancy got taken 2 years later. She was 43. My mom was in her 80s. Now, I would say my mom, whose husband did not dump her, who had 8 kids and did the best she could, it was sad she died, but let's be honest, it wasn't tragic, okay? It was just sad. And it's sad when people you love die. When my sister Nancy, at 43 years of old, died of cancer, especially given what I knew, that she was trying to turn her life around, that she was trying to get on her feet, that she was doing a damn better job than I did after my fucking divorce, that was tragic. That's closer to tragedy. When a young mother dies, when her young daughters don't have a mom. And then, a year or so later, they lose their dad to cancer too, which is what happened. That's tragedy, okay? Feel free to feel sorry about that situation. Don't feel sorry about 80 or 90-year-old people dying. And for God's sake, do not feel sorry for people like me. I'm a 50-year-old man. I've lived a good life. I've probably done as many things as I need to do. I'd love to do a few more, right? Wouldn't we all? I'd love to do a little cocaine. I would love to do a little cocaine off of Scarlett Johansson's, you know, tummy. That's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. It wouldn't happen if this virus didn't exist. With the virus, it's less likely. But it's not tragic. I think we have a problem with this, you know. There's a writer by the name of James Howard Kunstler, who I think is a great writer. If you don't read his blog, he has a blog that comes out twice a week, Clusterfuck Nation. He's a very gifted writer. He has a bit of a nasty old man perspective to him, but that's good too, right? But he often talks about the fact that Americans don't understand tragedy. They don't understand what tragic really means. I have to say that's 100% true. It is tragic when a child dies. It is not tragic when an old man or an old woman dies. It isn't. It's sad, but not tragic. In the coming weeks and months, I hope you guys get this shit straight. Because there are only so many tears you can shed. There are only so many hours you can spend in sadness. There are. And eventually, you cry so much, your eyes hurt. I remember that, autumn 2012, when my sister Nancy was dying, and when she died, a blur for me. I remember a few things with certainty, that I cried so much my eye sockets hurt. But you can only cry so much, people. So here's the deal. I have the COVID, I have the monkey herpes, I have the woo flu, the boogaloo flu, I have deflator mouse, and you know what? Maybe it'll kill me. Maybe it won't. Maybe all this is still bullshit. Maybe all I have is really just the common cold wrapped inside of, or I should say wrapped around it, is a lot of PSYOP. Because that could be true too. I could just have a very bad cold nestled in the burrito of a giant fucking gaslighting PSYOP. Who the fuck knows? I'm just an ordinary schmuck like you. But I do know that for a 50-year-old man in Little Saigon, it's not tragic. And I also know this. If you send me money, like if you donate money to my Venmo or PayPal accounts, I promise you I will take care of food. I'll take care of water and shelter. But I'll also probably get some beer and some fucking weed. And you know why? Because those things make me happy. And it's not tragic. For Saturday, March the 7th, 2020, to all you folks out there alive and dead, for those of you who have the fucking, you know, boogaloo flu, the fucking COVID, the Kobe virus, and for those of you who don't, have a great day, have a great weekend, consume lots of vitamin C, and always remember what Dr. Grunkus says, if you have a pain in your ear, shove a metal rod into it.